Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 326, part 2, the conclusion to self-reliance. Today is Sunday, January 12th, 2014.
There must be some way out of here, said the Joker to the thief. There's too much confusion, I can't get no relief. Businessmen, they drink my wine, plowmen dig my earth. None of them along the line know what any of it is worth. The thief, he kindly spoke. There are many here among us who feel that life is but a joke. But you and I, we've been through that, and this is not our fate. So let us not talk falsely now, the hour is getting late. Tower, princes kept the view, while all the women came and went, barefoot servants too. Outside in the distance, a wild cat did growl. Two riders were approaching, the wind began to howl.
I mean, if you want to be something or do something, be prepared for it when it comes. You want to be a lawyer? Then you have to prepare for that. You don't just decide you're going to be a lawyer and you walk into the courtroom. Hello, judge. I made a citizen's arrest. Yeah. I'm going to be the lawyer today. You won't even know how to approach the problem. That's all, folks. Huh? Right. Or you decide you want to be a cook. I've had people come down here. I'd like to be a cook. Have you ever cooked? Oh, yeah. And the most they've done is put cornflakes in a bowl. You know what I mean? They come back in there and they decide they're going to be a cook. That would be fun, cooking for people and feeding them. Oh, that'd be fun. I seen my mom do it once, just puts a big pot on there, chops up some carrots and onions and stuff, throws them in there, and turns the fire on. And there's soup. No, you have to prepare for those things. Right? If you want to run a mission, you have to be prepared for a whole lot of things. Right? If you want to drive the truck, you have to prepare. You don't just say, I'm going to be a truck driver. Move over. You have a driver's license? Who needs one? I want to drive this by faith. Huh? Speak it as if it were before it really is. Tell that to the officer when he arrests you for running into a tree. It's like flying a plane, isn't it? You didn't just decide to be a pilot or a doctor. He didn't decide to be a doctor or a pilot. He's a doctor and a pilot. So he didn't decide to be one or the other. I am going to be a doctor. Huh? And own a pet hospital. Okay. And you put a sign up. Dog fixer. Huh? No. Huh? I didn't just decide to be a pilot. I'm going down and buy an airplane. I got the money for it. Give me that one. Ooh, what does it do? Tell me. What's that? That's, you push down, it goes down. Pull back. I got it. Okay, and the pedals? Yeah, I got it. Remote control? Radar? Really? Take the book? Read the book? How much is it? Nothing to it. Here. You know, and get in the airplane? Do you? Let me out of the way. And that's the same way with people. They decide, I am going to be this, or I'm going to be a preacher, or I'm going to run a mission, and I'm going to do this. And then that's what they do. That's what's happening in the body of Christ right now. Everybody is a self-appointed expert. Every housewife, it seems like, not every, but quite a few of them are prophesying over their neighbors. Well, the roast burns. Huh? Or they're counseling with one another. Come on. Not prepared to do it. Right? No, you have to prepare for the thing, realize the opportunities will come your way, but you have to prepare for it. There's a preparation. There's a practical along with a theory. You have to go through a refresher course once in a while. Okay, going on. And I believe after that you go after it. And after that you find it. And maybe it doesn't come. Well, do you just stop right there and there? Then and there? Do you stop? Well, you go on to the next thing. And the next. And the next. And about the time you get all ready for something new, that first thing comes to pass. It's all in God's time, but you're prepared for it. You've gained patience. Isn't life, after all, a succession of opportunities? How many have had opportunity after opportunity? And a lot of times you don't realize them, though. You have an opportunity to listen to this message today. You on the radio, you have an opportunity to listen to it. And maybe it's more important that you run after a Frito-Lay potato chip and a bottle of Pepsi so you can burp. See, opportunities are always there. You got to recognize them when they come. They're for good and they're also for evil. As we make them, folks. The "where were you when's" are really God giving us opportunities. Where were you when I gave you this opportunity to do this good work? Those are opportunities. You were qualified. You had Jesus in you. And I gave you opportunity. You had the self-confidence because of the Lord in you, and you knew the Word, and you took in the Word, but you never realized the Word. And that's what's wrong in our country right now today. We have lost our self-reliance. And without that element, folks, we fail. The willingness is gone. It's the quoting scriptures. It's commanding God, but never doing His will. Huh? Well, I'm broke. That kind of talk, see? I'm this, I'm that. How many have been broke sometime or another in their life? Boy, I've never been broke in my life. You can take a collection up for me if you want to, folks. I mean, I could use a little help. No, just kidding. But maybe that hit your heart anyway. No. No? Don't you see it's an opportunity? Isn't it? I can really readily go along with that song, "Didn't We Almost Have It All," in a worldly sense. I went down that road. Oh, didn't we almost have it all? Mm-hmm. What'd you have? Nothing. nothing. The man who is not self-reliant is a weak person. The Bible says he is double-minded in all of his ways. He's hesitant. He's doubting in all that he does. He has seen, I believe, many times the possibilities, but his own self-concern, flesh concern, wars, it says in the Bible, against the spirit, and he picks the flesh. He fears to take a very decisive step because he dreads failures. How many have failed in here many times, miserably? They're afraid of public flesh opinion, so they don't go on with what they're doing. Well, what will people ever think of me? Golly, well, gee. Public judges. We're afraid of what people might think. And oh, how we lack leaders today. And the few we have, we run them through the meat grinder. And the few that we have that would be, we scare them off. And so no one wants to make a move. We're so busy checking out each other's past, we stumble over the future possibilities. The Bible says, don't lay down the plow and don't look back, forgetting those things that were, pressing forward towards the high mark, the calling in Christ. Well, if I was running for president or something, or a Supreme Court judge, I'd never make it, I'll tell you right now. How many in here think that they would qualify? I'd never make it. That's why I'd never judge anybody that's trying to make it. There's a lot of us, isn't there? They're never going to make the bench. I don't want to be on the bench anyway. Well, one thing we have a lot of, I'll tell you what that is, a lot of doubters. We need to get down and need to get down to one can of beans. Need to get down to a glass of water and a piece of bread and one can of beans so we don't have a lot of choices. See, that's what messes us up. We got a lot of choices, don't we? Do you give your kids a lot of choices? Huh? We were talking about it some time back. I was talking with a friend about getting little ones out of bed. And we give them choices. Get up, honey. Like it's a great big feat that the kid gets out of bed. Did him get up, him sleepy? Did get up, you little crabby little bear. Get up. My dad used to wake me up like this. You getting up? It's time to go to work. Come on, open up the head. It's time to go. It's 5 o'clock in the morning. Didn't come in. Baby bear, are you ready to get up? Daddy's little baby bear. Are you crabby? No. Can you smell the hot cakes? Are they reaching your nostrils, little darling dear? Huh? We give our kids choices. And so they come down meaner than hell itself. I don't want that. I don't like sugar on my waffle. I don't like syrup on my waffle. I don't want to drink milk. Fine. Go up and go to bed and just stay there for the rest of the week with nothing to eat. Well, that'd do them a life of good, wouldn't it? Oh, it'd be mean. The police would come and arrest you and handcuff you and throw you in jail. Put you in the newspapers, have you on TV. See, the fear of that keeps us from doing anything. Time to get up now. I'm only going to ask you twice. I'm lenient. Get up, get up. Why not? Don't you have enough self-respect for yourself than the little teeny kid intimidates you? Coming down there with them little fluffy slippers on. Huh? Well, that's just a picture of you then, isn't it? Only you're bigger and you wear a size 12 slippers. Oh, how we need to get into this and how we need to realize we got a problem. How about believing God? How about making sacrifices? How about stop waiting for someone to advise you and just go ahead and do it? Maybe your judgment isn't the best. Maybe you could be wrong. Maybe you could lose money. Better not move. No. It's like that game of freeze. How many ever played that game, freeze? And the kids walk around, freeze! Huh? Freeze! I used to make them stand there for like... I'd have them all facing that way so they couldn't see me sitting back here and just relaxing. You know? Isn't that the way it is now? Don't buy anything. Freeze. Freeze. With their hand on their pocketbook, or they have it open and they're just standing there like this. Don't feed anybody. Freeze. And we put a freeze on everything because we're fearful. Now's the time to let it roll. Overcome that fear with faith. Now's the time for the body of Christ to really get it on and to say, well, hey, I'm just going to do the best I can. I only got one apple today. Take that apple. Oh, I got a bag full here. Well, give that bag full away. You dummy. We left all of the 12 baskets on the other side. Now what do we do? And you know, in his cowardice and in his conceit, he sees all his non-success a lot of times due to others. He thinks, probably I'm not appreciated. How many older people think they're not appreciated? Their kids don't. Look, this is the thing. Say, get out of it. Oh, God. I'm not appreciated. No one thinks of me. Huh? I'm not recognized. Oh, preachers, don't worry about being recognized. Praise God, you're not recognized. They won't throw stones at you. I'm kept down. And he thinks that society is a conspiracy against him. He grows almost vain as he thinks that no one has had it as bad as I have. Such poverty, such sorrow, such affliction, such failure comes to me. You know, the man that is self-reliant, folks, is always seeking to discover, not only to discover, but to conquer the weakness within himself. That fear, that underlying fear that's there to overcome, that keeps him away from the attainments of what he holds dearest. He is more than an overcomer, it says in the Bible, through Christ who strengthens him. Ah, that's it, folks. That is the crux of the whole thing. He dies to himself and he lives for Christ. He takes on his fears and he takes on his weakness by allowing God to work through him and the grace to overcome. He seeks within himself the power to battle against all the outside influences. He realizes finally that life is a battle. Sometimes we're so bored with life, we don't want to hear that no more. Oh, I don't want to hear it. Sometimes people won't receive. I don't want to hear it. I don't want a battle. I don't want a life. I don't want a challenge. I don't want nothing. Okay, we'll sit you over here in the congregation of nothing. I had that years ago. It was before I saved, and I started going to a church. And they didn't preach salvation or anything, but I thought, I will be a Sunday school teacher. So they put me in with the babies. Now, that was all right. And then they put me in with little kids. They're like 3 and 4 years old. And they had one kid in there, he was always a crier. He'd come in, and as soon as he could see his eyes just like this. And he knew what he was doing as soon as the parents would leave. Wah! No? Just picked him up. He's a wire. See, I says, know what? You can yell as loud as you want to. Now, do any of you kids want to join him over there? You can join him over there. Want to join there? And they all turn and look at the kid. No, I don't want to be like that. Pretty soon people start coming downstairs. What's going on down here? Oh, nothing. He's just crying over there. He likes to cry. Well, aren't you going to do anything? I said, well, I've done everything I can. Without do anything, I might get carried away and get arrested. So, I wasn't born again. And I came from the family of hard knocks. My dad used to wake me up, remember, like this? Get up, it's the time I have to go to work. He never whipped me. My mom did. My mom, the windmill, you've heard me talk of her several times. She beat me like this in the corner. I always deserved it, though. Well, sometimes I didn't, Mom. And you know that kid over there bawling all by himself? And I said, well, went over there, I said, hold it, just a minute. Stop crying for 1 minute. Give me 1 minute. You want to join us? And he looks up to me, and he thinks a while. Pretty soon he joined us. He came over all by himself. He got a belly full of himself. That's just like God lets us get a belly full of what we're doing. Don't judge people. God allows him to go out and do things. Then he just get a belly full of it. Don't eat the ice cream. You eat it till you're sick. You don't want any more, right? Oh, nobody knows the trouble I've seen. Nobody knows the power. Nobody knows the sorrow. Nobody knows the affliction. Everybody's picking on me type of thing. No, take on your fears. Take them on. Look at the disciples. All died martyrs' lives. Think about that. All suffered. All were persecuted. All were hated. All were, what? Self-reliant. Greater was he that was in than him that was of the world. Let's realize that defeat is no more than passing through a tunnel. We know we must emerge again into some sunlight. That's like a nation. A nation, I believe, that is a strong one, is the one that's more self-reliant, the one that contains within its boundaries all that its people need. So when they get embargoes and things like that, do you know right now that the United States really is the only country that's totally self-reliant? We become reliant on other people, but we could return to that right now. We could be self-reliant. Number one, we have food. Secondly, we do have possibilities, because we still got some older people that know what to do. And we got some younger ones that are learning too, but not at the rate that we should. But we actually are the only country right now that's self-contained, that could make it all by itself. Think about it. Do you think Japan could make it all by itself? Yeah, if you want to put 4 million Toyotas on top of each other. And say what they can say about the good old USA, but still a good old USA. And we need to come back to more self-reliance before we get too dependent on somebody else to do our things. Before we get like the Romans, someone clipping their nails, And these were soldiers. I mean, these guys woke up with knives in their teeth in the morning. Hey, paisano, let's go. Huh? Let's go, we conquer, okay? The health and the helmet on crooked. Oh, come on now. Loaf of bread and some cheese, a little vino, and off they'd go. Well, what happened to them? Had somebody carry their packs, somebody carry the swords, got everything, went back, had people trimming their fingernails and their toenails, feeding them grapes, fanning them. Faster, faster, the flies are terrible. What happened to them? Someone did all, the Greeks did all of their art, taught them culture, and they were just sat there like grapes and lamb juice running down their face. Burp, burp. And they just get, they had so much pleasure, they'd turn around, they'd vomit, and then they'd go back to eating again. What happened to them? They had one man fiddling while Rome burnt. And all the people left and they went home. And some of these crazies came in, you know, ta-da, ta-da, with these big horns on their hats, the Vikings, I guess. Right? And they were sitting there and they lost all their muscle tone. And they, well, I remember when we were great soldiers and they jumped up, but they couldn't tie their shoes. They were too fat. And they went to put on their sword and they, okay, it don't fit. And they tried to run up the side of a mountain and they slid all the way down. They were miserable. Beached whales. We can get that way if we don't take on the job at hand. If we kind of put the job off on somebody else and let them fight the battle for it. Oh, I hear people say, hey, the government, let them. No, no. Let the government do what they're supposed to do. Let the church do what they're supposed to do. Let the corporate body do what they're supposed to do. And let's all have fun. I'm really proud of the North Side. I have volunteers coming in from our own North Side. It's coming to pass. Isn't that great? From our own North Side. In our beautiful North Side here is feeding people. Brooklyn Park, Brooklyn Center, Osseo, Columbia Heights, Lake Street, the Indian Section, Cedar Avenue. We go way out. We can go to Wisconsin. We go over in St. Paul. How's it get done? By somebody fanning you? By someone slipping grapes into your fat little lips? And feeding you lamb stew? Huh? No, folks. It comes by being dedicated and getting up off it and staying in shape. Bodily exercise profiteth little if it's just for yourself. What good is it to have a fine physique and be a man? Oh, look at that guy. Wow. What good is it to get on these muscle shows? Huh? That's ugly anyway. You can't even comb your hair. No, we have to be self-sufficient within ourselves and realize, hey, we got it all. This is a country under God. Let's get back to it. Let's stop all the fighting and all the infighting and all the prejudices and all these things and come together, and the church should be the leader in it as a corporate body of Christ. I'm not going to get involved in politics. I want to involve the politician. Come on down and pack up a few bags. All the enemy is surrounding us right now, the Bible says. In the end, God will release seducing spirits from the pit. It'll all come to the amount of self-reliance, inward power that we have. See, the history of nations is but the biography of individuals. Magnified, intensified, multiplied, and projected on the screen of the past. History, in other words, is a biography of a nation. Biography is the history of the individual. They're one. Don't ever think you as an individual, you don't count. And so you got to stand in the trials and the tribulations and sorrow, the inner wars, and be a strong nation. And so we must always be self-reliant. Whew. Are you hearing this? Don't let slaves do everything for you. Don't pick up everything made in Japan. And so this kind of life in Rome produced the drunks and the addicts and the morally sick people like it is now, and the selfish people and the idly weak people and the cruel people and the homosexual and all. Great nations can just fall down under that kind of thing. Never depend on somebody to do your job. You know what will happen if you do that? Someone else controls your life. You start to doubt yourself. You start to doubt your possibilities. You think, I can't handle it. You become fearful. You become slow. You can't read. Look in our country right now. People can't read. Isn't that sickening? I remember when they tried to bring in the metric system. Was it about 20 years ago? And I thought to myself, I barely know how to read a tape measure. And they're going to slip in I could read one, but it took me time. Some guys can read them right away. They just 5/16, 32nd, you know. So then you know what I mean? They're just really good at that. So I start practicing. Okay, now I got it down. And they start slipping in this metric system. I thought, hey, we can't hardly count to 10, and now they're going to give us metrics? Does that make sense to you? 5 quarts in a gallon? I always thought it was 3. See, there's a lot of people who don't know. Really. And then when you ask them, even if they did know, they're kind of uncertain about themselves. They don't want to say anything because they don't want to appear ignorant. They know what it is, but they're afraid of giving the wrong answer, so they don't raise their hand. Well, I better shut up. I'll make a fool out of myself. And if I was teaching, I'd ask, how many people in here, like me, really don't know the measuring system? And if we were to give a test today, how many of you think they would get 100 in it? You know what I mean? And challenge people as a group. And after you challenge them as a group and take away the fear, and you got them working together, then you give them the solving of the problem right there and say, no, and you can all cheat. Here's all of the questions, and here's the answers over here. Ready? Go. Take your time now. Don't miss copy. And some people be fearful they'd miss copy. What's happened? We've taken that self-reliance away from people. Oh, we put them on this system and that system. And any kind of system there is outside of Jesus stinks. And especially if there's no love in it. I think right now, and I deal with Hennepin County, I think there's more love in Hennepin County in the welfare system. Really, I mean it because I deal with them all the time. They have a lot of people down there that are really concerned. Really concerned. I've seen them bring people in here and hand feed them right through the place. Why does it work? Because it's got love with it. Why does this mission work? Because it's got dedication behind it. It's got realism behind it, and it's got love behind it. I didn't say everybody was perfect down here. Lord, I'd be in heaven if I was perfect, and I'd claim it right now and get out of here. Wouldn't you? Oh, if you're looking for a perfect church, you out there, and you find one, don't go in there because you'll ruin it. I'm closing now. Look at the beautiful American Indians. We took away their self-respect. What happened? They lost their self-reliance. Oh, we try and cope. We blame God. We lose direction. We lose our morals. We lose our standards. So we set up new standards to keep our sanity. Oh, it's okay to get into homosexual. Incest is all right. It's normal. Violence is normal. And we became a nation of pills. We can't rely on ourselves. We become computerized, and so we don't add anymore, we computerize. I want to say something here. Maybe I'll get some calls on this, and I'm only going to have about 3 more minutes here in ministry. 15 years ago, when the charismatic move started, it was all right, but then we became proud in the charismatic movement. And then everybody became an expert. Then everybody became very unreal, mystical. And then we wanted God to supply all of our needs. He's got the cattle on 1,000 hills and all. Give it to us, according to your promise. Without any work, without any pressure, without any prayers, without any thanks. And we started to command God, and that's where we made a mistake. Got to get back to the gospel. You can have all those things, but if you don't have love, you have nothing. You're a gong, a clinging cymbal. We got into things like relying on people. Do you have a word for me? We go to counsel and we don't hear the counsel. We're not satisfied with our part in the body. We want to be all mouth. We don't want to be the arms and the legs and the hands and the eyes and the ears. No hearts. We want to be debaters. We want to get into, what did Jesus really mean by feed the poor? And get into a great big study that takes 15 years. Run all over looking for new truths. And I got to warn you right now, there's a brand new thing coming out. It's on the market. I've seen it on Channel 4, a little piece of it before I came to preach here on a Friday night. It's called The New Religion Wave. And I just caught a part of it before I came to minister, and it says, well, that man has everything and he knows everything. He's all self-contained. He just has to open that up. And I thought, boy, is that ever from the devil. And it says in the end, there'll come seducing spirits that will fool almost God's elect. Almost God's elect will be fooled during that time. And you know what it comes out of? It comes out of all of that misgospel we heard for the last 15 years, those deviations from the truth. And now we are reaping the harvest for that, and we're getting into the light fantastic and weirdyisms. And it says in the Bible that they'll turn away from the truth with itching ears. Oh, how we had itching ears, didn't we? Huh? I've seen people misuse the gospel so many times. Somebody didn't get up out of a wheelchair. They've been in there for 20 years. You just didn't have enough faith. Yeah, we want to raise the dead and we're half dead ourselves. We coldly listen to people's testimonies and then we lukewarm it down so they don't get too excited about Jesus Christ and packing bags and doing things for the poor. Well, I've said all that to get to this, that we've got to learn how to be self-reliant. Self-reliant, that means relying in yourself, in God. The Bible says, provoke one another to good works. I hope I provoked you here today. I hope I provoked somebody on the radio today. No, I'm not talking about a self-sufficiency of conceit. It's a daring to stand alone, to be an oak and not a tumbleweed. To be ready to give support whenever it's needed. To be dependent upon the support, but not totally yourself. Oh, I have to be dependent upon Jim to drive the truck, but I'm not totally dependent. I have to be dependent upon Marty and Carolyn and Janine and all of you people, but not totally. Be self-sufficient, but be self-sufficient as a body, And the only way that people will be fully persuaded about Christianity is when they say, behold how they love one another. And that's the only way you're going to convince anybody of anything, is if you love me, the Bible says, Jesus says, obey me. And if you obey me, you'll take care of people's needs. Because after all, folks, your biggest need is to take care of the needs of somebody else, to get your mind off of your miserable selves. Are you hearing me on the radio? Don't think that the moment that your child becomes 18 years old, that it's a magical number and that he is totally independent on his own. Like it's some kind of a magical number. It takes some kind of work. It takes some kind of dedication. You might have to show that person over and over and over again. I ministered a few weeks back, I'll say it again. When my mother taught me how to clean out a toilet, and I was probably about 7 years old. She says, I want you to learn how to clean out this toilet, and I want you to learn how to lift up the seat when you go. Oh, goodness, that isn't of God. Well, you have to know what I'm talking about. Lift up the seat, okay? This is realism. You teach the kid right there, hey, you don't wet on the seat. Pick that thing up. Right? Oh, but no, that is not spiritual. Goodness, this should not be brought up. This should be in the home. My. I'm going to turn this man off. Well, go ahead. Go ahead. I could care less. We turn you off and you start swearing, a Christian swearing about a wet toilet seat, okay? All right. She taught me and she says, you're going to stay in here until you know how to clean the whole restroom in here. Okay, and then I got done. I'm all done. Just call this clean. Not clean. It's a start. It's a start. It's the best you can do right now. But you're going to stay in here until you learn how to do it. Moon over Miami. I mean, it was late when I got done. She showed me how to get down, look up under the rim, how to pull the seat back and wipe it off, how to disinfect it and clean the sink, and make sure all of the whisker hairs were off there, and all the hairs in between around there, and all the little scuffy marks around the faucets, and how to shine them up, how to clean the wall off, how to clean a bathtub properly, and push the curtain back so everybody could say, my, what a clean bathtub you have, and clean the walls and everything, you know what I mean? And don't hide anything. When I come in here, I want everything open to my inspection. But do you know what? Later on in life, someone asked, where did you ever learn? And this is only a year later. When I was a man. Where did you ever learn how to clean a bathroom? I said, from my mom. Boy, then I was proud of my mom. My mother was always teaching me. My mother, the windmill, she was a wonderful teacher. She would stay on your case until you knew. There is a place for everything and everything in its place. Now, is that where that belongs? Is your carburetor supposed to be in the sink, sonny boy? Are you supposed to take mother's good towels out to wipe your motor off? But I learned respect for others, and I learned respect for myself, and I had enough respect for myself to do the job and do it right. That's what we got to be, and that's what we got to come to, is a self-reliancy, a self-respect, enough self-respect to teach others and to keep on and to be helping others and to meet the needs of others and just go on with our life. Hey, you're only going to be here for a short time. You might see me here today and gone tomorrow. Here again, there again, gone again, Flanagan. Maybe you on the radio might be mad at me. Well, repent. I might die and you won't be able to say you're sorry. I hope you got something out of this message today. But if a message comes to nothing, if it doesn't minister, that you must be born again. You know, if there's anybody in here today that doesn't know Jesus as their personal Savior, this is really great. You can know Him right now. Now, preachers, if you're listening out there, you can preach the most magnificent message with the most lovely diction and a great orientation and the words. What did he say? I don't know, but they were fluent words. They flowed out in such a magnificent array of words I've never heard. He ministered something. And one time they asked me, he said, can you use any large words at all? I said, okay, let me lay this one on you. You're an egotistical, sophisticated rhetorician and every observance of verbosity. I said, I have a very good hold on the English language, but I think we misuse it by overusing it. When you want to tell someone, could you please silence yourself? Tell them to shut up. Be more direct. Extricate the quadruped. Stabulate him. Denote him an adequate supply of nutritious element. When he roars, illuminates the horizon. I will reward thee with a pecuniary compensation for your amiable hospitality. What did I say? Put the horse in the barn and feed him. When you get up in the morning, I'll reward you. Did you know that? No. Well, you heard it from the horse's mouth. Is there anyone in here today that doesn't know Jesus as their personal Savior?
There you have it. That was episode 326, part 2, the conclusion to self-reliance. If you missed part 1, just go to www.pastorpaul.blogspot.com, and there you're going to find all of Pastor Paul's podcasts, show notes, and scripture links. You can also find the podcast by going to www.pastorpaul.org. At the top of the website, you'll see a link to the podcast and the blog. Be sure to subscribe to Pastor Paul's podcasts so you'll get emails when the podcasts are published. Join us next Friday for part 1 of Happy. Have a great week, and God bless you.
You may be an ambassador to England or France. You may like to gamble. You might like to dance. You may be the heavyweight champion of the world. You may be a socialite with a long string of pearls. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, indeed, you're gonna have to serve somebody. Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Maybe a rock and roll addict prancing on the stage. Money, drugs at your command, women in a cage. You may be a businessman or some high degree thief. They may call you doctor or they may call you chief. You're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are. You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
You may be a state trooper. It may be a young Turk. Maybe the head of some bigger TV network. You may be rich or poor, you may be blind or lame, maybe living in another country under another name, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Maybe a construction worker working on a home. Might be living in a mansion. You might live in a dome. You may own guns and you may even own tanks. You may be somebody's landlord. You may even own banks. But you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve
yes,
somebody.
You're gonna have to serve somebody. You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
You may be a preacher, spiritual pride. Maybe a city councilman taking bribes on the side. Maybe working in a barber shop, you may know how to cut hair. You may be somebody's mistress, maybe somebody's heir. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're
to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Might like to wear cotton, might like to wear silk, might like to drink whiskey, might like to drink milk, might like to eat caviar, you might like to eat bread. Maybe sleeping on the floor, sleeping in a king-size bed, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, indeed, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Bobby, or you may call me Zimmy, you may call me RJ, you may call me Ray, you may call me anything, no matter what you say, you're still gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Yes, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, and it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.